Stephanie Schaefer, and you're listening to the North Star Narrative, a podcast from North Star Academy. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you're encouraged, challenged, and motivated by what you learned today. Enjoy the story. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm really excited because today we have a special guest with us who is going to really speak straight into the heart of the North Star community, to our TCK and MK students. And so part one is going to be Harmony Nefakis sharing her story of what it was like to be not only TCK, but just for her heart to be totally captivated and consumed with the love of Christ. And so I can't wait for you to hear her story. And then part two, come on back next week because you're going to get to hear her really incredible, compassionate, loving answers to our student community questions. So a little bit about Harmony. She is a Canadian American. She's a sister of three, aunt of 10, owner of, used to be 9 chickens, but you're going to hear, we've lost a few chickens. She's a nature lover, a food appreciator, and most importantly, follower of Jesus. You're going to get to hear her story of how Jesus captured her heart fully. And so I'm so excited about that. But she grew up the first 8 years of her life in Thailand, then moved to America. So this makes her a TCK. So you're going to find out more about TCK. She gives a really good definition of TCK and just gives some great insight for parents and students. Harmony has a bachelor's degree in psychology, and she also works with OMF and has a lot of opportunities to be able to share and interact with TCKs and just helping them virtually from her home in Pennsylvania. So I'm so excited for Harmony to be here with us today and for you to hear her story. Harmony, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
All right. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. I didn't share everything that you told us. So go ahead and share a little bit about you and specifically what really stuck out to me. You can talk about chickens because right now the egg prices are so high.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, I wished I had some chickens.
Yes, you should get some chickens. It is so entertaining. So I am a Canadian American who was born in Thailand and grew up there until I was 8 years old. But I currently live in Pennsylvania, and just in a little suburb, and in our backyard, we have, currently 6 chickens. We used to have 9 at the beginning of the year, and the hawks have just been particularly hungry, and eager to feast on our little birds. But it's okay. We've got it figured out. They're all protected. We love them. They're so fun. We have one that is like this funny looking black chicken. It's actually kind of got this like feathery beard. So it's like a bearded lady. And she lays green eggs and it's just so quirky and so fun. And she's so sweet. So yeah, lots of fun.
Wow. Can you send us a picture of that? That would be cool. I've never seen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Green eggs. Okay. I'm thinking green eggs and ham. Like the Dr. Seuss book?
I mean, I think those green eggs were actually like they come out like the inside is green. There's a lot of chickens who the shells will come out different colors. You can get them like rainbow colors.
Wow.
I mean, not like a rainbow egg, but like you can get like pink eggs and blue eggs and red eggs and olive green eggs. And it's amazing.
Cool. Tell us, do you name your chickens?
Yeah. So I have several nieces in the area and between all of us, we tend to name our chickens.
Is the one called the Bearded Lady?
No, her name's Chocolate, which was actually named by a friend of ours. And then her best friend is named Chipmunk. So together, they're Chocolate Chip. And then I think we have Coffee right now, kind of like a coffee-colored, and Andy, and a Lady.
Oh, and I'm just thinking hawks. I thought you were going to say like foxes maybe came and got the chickens or dogs, but hawks?
Yeah, we didn't even know it was hawks because we kept on finding the chickens, sadly. It was kind of gross. And we didn't know what was killing them until we like caught one in the act. And those hawks are vicious. And it's weird because the chickens are actually like they're fat, big chickens, but the hawks are just more powerful. Kind of sad, but
predators.
We found a way to protect them. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. So do you have lots of eggs that you are able to eat daily? Do you sell them? Do you share them with your neighbors?
So there was a point where we had 10 chickens that were all laying. I think there was like a point where we were getting 8 fresh eggs every single day. But sadly, since the egg prices increased, we've only had 2 chickens. Well, actually now we have 3 chickens that are laying, and they'll lay like maybe 4 to 5 times a week. So we still get eggs, but not nearly as many as we used to. But I don't think we ever buy eggs. Even so, like, yeah, we never buy.
Wow. Yeah. There's been so many memes and crazy stuff going around about people that have chickens and how they've struck gold. You know.
Oh, they're so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been getting those.
Yeah. Funny. All right. Well, yeah. So I just want to dive in. Before I ask you the questions, tell us a little bit more about Jesus capturing your heart as a freshman. Mm. That's just so deep to me and meaningful, and just my prayer for a lot of people in my life right now. So I'd love to hear your story.
Yeah. Yeah. So I grew up with my parents who were missionaries. So I knew all the Bible stories. I knew all the Sunday school answers. I mean, I felt like there was nothing I didn't know. And obviously there's a lot I didn't know. But I think what I was really missing, and what I recognized as a kid too, and what I recognized throughout my teen years, is that I knew all the answers, and I knew we're supposed to pray, and that, you know, we worship this personal God. And, you know, hearing everybody say like, oh, I just love Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, I love Jesus too. Because he's God, and we're supposed to love him. But I didn't actually understand or feel a connection with God. He was just kind of like this, like, I knew it was more than a religion. I knew that he was a being that existed, but it just didn't feel personal to me. And I felt guilty a lot. And it was something that I was embarrassed about. It was something I was ashamed about, to be surrounded by Christians who all seemed to get it. And some of these Christians who were like brand new Christians and didn't even know some of the basic stories, where I knew all the facts and figures of the stories. And yet they were talking about having these really transformational experiences, and even crying when they were sharing their testimonies. And my story was like, well, my mom asked me if I wanted to ask Jesus into my heart when I was 6 years old, and I said sure. And so I said the prayer, and then I went back to coloring, and that was it. And that was like a story that I was ashamed of too, because it wasn't moving and emotional, and I didn't have a before and after of my life being changed. So yeah, just growing up with this kind of feeling like something's missing, and then hitting college and everything falling apart. You know, and throughout high school and in like senior year especially, I was praying like, God, lead me to the right college, lead me to the right major. And I didn't want to mess that up, because I didn't want to spend more time in college, and I didn't want to pay for it. Like, I knew how expensive it was. And so I ended up going to Messiah College, fantastic college, loved it. The only reason I could go was because I had a scholarship, a 70% scholarship, because of a music audition that I passed, and I was a music education major. But in that first year of college, I realized I don't want to do music for the rest of my life, but I'm paying for this first year of college, so I can't switch. Like, I'm stuck, but I hate this major. And, you know, all these things were just getting really confused. It wasn't just one thing, but everything just started compiling. I think part of it was separation from friends and community I had from home, because I was living in a new place. And even though I loved this new campus, I was like listening to a lot of other Christians on campus, and they were expressing how close they were to God, how much they loved God. And I just wasn't getting it. And I started to become angry. And I feel like once you start heading down that hill of, you know, things are going wrong, it's really easy to compile everything else in your life that you've been upset about, that you haven't processed, right? And there was so much I realized that I hadn't processed. I had a lot of grief, a lot of unresolved grief related to leaving Thailand when I was 8 years old. I didn't know at the time that we weren't going back to Thailand. I didn't realize that we were going to be in America forever. Forever, that's in quotations. And that carried a lot of grief. And then throughout school, I had a lot of depression and anxiety throughout middle school and high school. And that was all carried with me because I had just been trying to push it aside, just distract myself from all of that. So anyways, long story short, freshman year just kind of compiled into this disaster where I found myself going to God and saying, God, like, I know you exist. Like, I get that, but you're not a good God. You can't possibly be a good God because so many people are suffering and I'm suffering and you said that you would answer prayers and that's what everybody else is saying, that you answer prayers. And yet I have prayed so much in my life that you would send me back to Thailand, that you would help my friends who were struggling, that you would help me out of depression and anxiety, that you would help me find the right major, the right college, and all of it, you haven't said a single thing to me. So, you know, whatever, you know, if you don't care, then this doesn't matter. But at the same time, that was such a rock bottom place for me to be. Like, it is so lonely and terrifying to suddenly realize that this single value that you've had your entire life, that is the basis of your childhood because your parents were in missions for God, that this entire thing that's been carrying you through and that you've believed in, that there's something false about it. Like, that just completely rattled me and I was falling apart. So even in the midst of that, I found myself on my knees saying, God, listen, I know you don't care, but I know that you're powerful. And right now I just feel like a total mess and I can't get out of this. Like, I need your help getting out of this. So I get it. You're not a good God. You don't care about me, but I need help right now. And that's when I started to experience God personally, not the powerful, non-loving God that I thought I had just discovered, but the real God of the Bible, the real savior, the friend, the king, all of those characters that have been described in the Bible and their interactions with God, suddenly I was experiencing personally. And it started out small. It started out with some answered prayers. Little prayers that I had prayed since I was a kid were suddenly being answered to form a deep, loving relationship with my brother, who I'd been fighting with my entire life. Suddenly there was an opportunity for that. A time when I was in the cafeteria in the middle of the day, feeling completely lonely and depressed and afraid that just like so badly needing somebody to talk to and just kind of wishing slash praying, I just need a friend to talk to right now. And out of the blue, a friend who had no reason to be there just walks in the door and sits with me. And I know that there's times when there's coincidence, right? But this came with emotion, with feeling, with a presence that I realized this is not just me, but there is something supernatural here. And also like other beautiful moments where I wasn't just seeing God through other people. And that was a huge part of it, is relationships and daring to be in relationship with other people and then seeing God speak through them. That was a powerful way of encountering God, but also these really personal moments where I was, you know, walking back to my dorm on the way after a long day of school that I was super stressed about and I was feeling super anxious and alone. And I just felt this breeze that kind of pushed me as I was walking up a hill. And I just had this like emotion overcome me, a feeling of like God is that lion, you know, Aslan, just kind of teasing me right now. And he's kind of pushing me and he's helping me and he's just showing me that he's present. And another powerful moment where at the time I had been kind of avoiding church. I was going every week, but only because I knew that my parents would call me throughout the week and say like, hey, how was church on Sunday? And I didn't want to lie to them and say that I went when I didn't. So I would go to church, but sometimes I would, you know, walk around the building, or sometimes I would sit in the back of the church, but just be really distracted. And there was this one time in church where I did go and I sat in the back and they were worshiping. And I had a daydream, but a very vivid daydream. And in this daydream, I saw myself sitting where I was in the back row, just feeling sick and standing up and trying to stumble out of the church, but just collapsing because I was so weak and just like darkness kind of like coming out of me, like basically vomiting tar. It's a gross image. But what was powerful was that in that image, I saw people in the church standing around me, looking at me saying, "Oh, poor girl, like somebody should help her," but nobody actually helping me. And then I kind of woke up from this daydream and thought, yep, that's it. Like, I'm too disgusting for people to actually help me. Like, nobody wants to help me. I'm all alone in this. And then I heard a voice saying, "I already have. Like, I already have kneeled down with you, and I'm here right now, and nothing's going to take me away from you." And that was just a moment that I didn't realize the significance of as it was happening. But later on, that image just kept on coming up to me, and it still comes up to me today, of this idea where there's times where I feel like I'm all alone, where nobody understands, where maybe nobody's coming up to help me because they don't even realize that I'm struggling. And yet, there's absolutely no question that not only will God be with me, but God already is with me, and He already has been with me in the past. And there's just no question in my mind about it anymore. So that just began the rest of my life, you know, even now, just continually encountering a very personal God that felt impossible for me to access when I was younger. But now I see more and more just how present He was with me, even when I never thought that He was there.
Mm. Wow. That's super, super powerful story of God's He's so personable. He's so right there with us. So cool. And I love how He gives us whatever we need at the moment, whether it's that mental picture or the voice or the breeze, the feeling. Mm. Love the reference to C.S. Lewis and the strength and the power that He is in the moment that we need Him. So.
Yeah, and to interact so personally with each of us. Like, my story of interacting with God personally is not going to be the same as the person next to me. Mm-hmm. Like, God knows how we respond to Him and how we feel Him. So for me, oftentimes it's nature, it's these images. But for other people, it's the Word coming alive to Him as they read it, or God being present with them during prayer, or interacting with people mm-hmm. around them. It's just so different.
That's so good. All right. Tell us what a TCK is, and also just reflecting on your story, like, what would you tell a TCK that's listening now that you wish you would have known? You know, maybe they're in that same place of struggle that you were.
Mm. Yeah. TCK stands for Third Culture Kid. It is referring to a culture that stands between two sources of culture in your life. So they talk about your passport culture, which is whatever is on your passport, basically. And this may be multiple cultures, but this is still considered that first culture that helps influence you. The second source of culture refers to any country that you are living in and being influenced by. Again, this can be multiple cultures, but it is still referred to as the second source of culture. Now, a third culture is essentially created when the first culture doesn't match the second culture. So you have, for me, I'm American, and a lot of my American friends have America written on their passport. They are American by nationality, and they've lived in America their entire life. So there's no clash of culture. They exist as an American, and they feel strongly identified as that. However, when you have somebody who has, like for myself, an American passport and Canadian citizenship, and then you combine that with a country where I've lived with for a significant amount of time when I was a kid, which was Thailand, then there creates a mismatch of culture that makes me more likely to relate to other individuals who also have a mismatch of culture. And all of this culture differences is happening when you're growing up. So under the age of, 18 and under. So it's during your childhood, you're experiencing this mix of cultures. It's just a term that's used as long as people find it helpful. If you don't find it helpful to say that you're a TCK, don't say it. That's, It's not for other people to label you. It's for you to help understand yourself and also figure out who you identify with. TCKs sometimes like knowing that they're TCKs and identifying other people as TCKs because they know that they connect more. They connect easier with others who have that shared experience. So it's helpful for them. But others, like I know some TCKs who are like, I don't even want to talk about growing up overseas. I don't want that label. I don't want to be seen as different. I just want to be who I am. And I think that's also a great perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thinking about your story and someone who's listening right now, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I learned a lot, mostly as an adult, about lessons I wish I had known when I was younger. I think one thing that I've discovered has been more important than I thought and has affected me more than I thought is the idea about relationships, about friendships. So I was born in Thailand, and when I was living in Thailand, my parents' job was to help train new workers who were coming to the field in our little town, and then those workers would go and leave. So a lot of my childhood, those first 8 years, was making friends with people, but only for like maybe a year at a time, and then saying goodbye to them. And there weren't very many relationships in my life that lasted more than a year. And then we got this news, like, we're moving to America. And my image of America was like Hollywood movies. I never actually lived there before, but Hollywood movies taught me that American kids make best friends with their neighbors, and then they're friends for the rest of their life in this like super deep and meaningful relationship. And then we moved to the States, and I realized, like, actually, that's not exactly true. And it's really hard to make friends here. And I'm doing everything right. Like, I know how to get people to like me. I know how to surround myself with people. So I have lots of friends, quote unquote, but I'm still feeling like I'm missing so much. And I would always blame it on other things. Like, I would say, like, oh, because I'm a TCK, like, nobody's ever going to understand me, so I'm not going to have that deeper friendship. Or it's because they're Americans, like, oh, Americans are just so ignorant and don't know what they're talking about. And I had a lot of criticism towards Americans at that time, which was another thing that I learned to overcome. So yeah, there was just always like excuses as to why I wasn't having deep relationships. And I think there was some truth to some of that, but ultimately I didn't know how to have deep relationships. I didn't know how to act in a relationship, especially when it became more meaningful. I realize now as an adult that there were times where I started to grow close to classmates and feel like, wow, this is a really meaningful friendship. And then I would get really scared and I would back away and be like, I don't want this anymore. Like, something feels uncomfortable. Something doesn't feel right about this. And I would come up with a bunch of excuses as to why they're not a good friend. And I would just leave that. And that was most of my childhood and even my early adult years. And now I am being so intentional about learning what friendship is. What does it mean to interact with other people? And what does God say about community? Because there was also a portion of my college years where I thought friendship is so hard and friends are so disappointing. And I know that everybody's going to leave. Like, none of these friends are actually going to stay. And it's so hard to say goodbye to people that I just don't need people. Like, it's actually going to hurt me if I make friends with people and care about them. I can have the casual friendships, you know, the ones where we have fun and say goodbye at the end of the day, but ultimately it's going to be safer for me to be alone. I started using a lot of like scripture to justify myself. Like, all we need is Jesus, therefore I don't need people. Or, you know, count others as more important yourself than yourself. So therefore, I should never, ever like ask somebody to do something for me. And I started learning over time that friendship is actually a mutual thing where like, it's not just about helping them being a good Christian kid and making sure they have everything they need and putting them above yourself. And there's good in that too, but I didn't quite get how to be somebody who needed other people. And honestly, for a lot of my my life, I didn't even think that was biblical to need other people until I started diving more into scripture and until God started speaking to me more deeply about his call for us to be in community, and to even be in community even when it hurts.
That's so good. I love that you're so reflective and have so much to share, even defining friendship. And so it's really cool to think about people listening to this, even through their own filter right now and their, you know, own experiences and what they've gone through. So I just encourage everybody that's listening to, press into that. And maybe you even have to rewind. We don't rewind anymore, you know, but just re-listen, you know, to this, because what you've already shared is really, really, really good. I'm so excited. Well, thank you for just the investment of your time into the North Star community and the globe for all those that will listen to your story.
It's great being here.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you have any questions for our guest or would like information about North Star, please email us at podcast@nsa.school. We love having guests on our show and getting to hear their stories. If you have anyone in mind that you think would be a great guest to feature, please email us and let us know. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming stories.